Okay, so we're going to start. The shiur is about the distinction between falling in love and being in love. Okay, so we'll start with there's four Rambams, and we'll start with about Avas Hashem, and then we're going to see the main part of the shiur is going to. I'm not really sure how it's going to turn out, but it's going to revolve around the love between standard love between romantic love between a man and a woman. And then we're going to come back to explain, you know, how that helps understand Avas Hashem. Okay, but we'll start with the problems in the Rambam, so we can get a little grounded, okay? And then it's a little bit, the psychology part is going to be a little bit abstract, so I'm warning you in advance. Okay, it's too late, you're already here, but, okay, good. So it's we'll start with Perek Beis Lech Aleph and Yesod Torah. We're going to skip the Yiras Hashem parts, okay? We're going to really just focus on the Avas Hashem. Sounds like this. Hakel hanichbad v'anora zeh mitzvah l'avo l'yir menu. Shnemar v'ahavta is Hashem al-kecha, which is the first, it's just in Shema, right? He leaves out the second part of the pasuk here. B'chol v'avcha, b'chol nashcha, b'chol miyodecha. We'll see later on he's going to bring it in the full pasuk. He says, v'nemar zeh Hashem al-kecha tira. V'heich hi derech l'avosu v'yiraso. So what is how is the way to love and fear God? So Bishashi is bonin ha'adam b'maisav u'bruyav ha'neflaim ha'gidolim. So we're going to pay attention to like the wording and the formulation. It's going to be important. So in the time, in the moment, when the person contemplates God's actions and his creations, wondrous creations, and great creations, v'yir mehem chachmaso she'en la'erech v'lokates, and he sees from them that God's chachma, God's wisdom, has no, it's incomparable and there's no end to it. It's infinite wisdom. Miyadu Oev, immediately he's in love, umishabech, and he praises and befar and glorifies, umisava taiva gedola leida Hashem agadol, and he has a tremendous passionate desire to know this great name, okay, to know God. Kmosh Amar David, sama nafshi lelokim akelchai, and this is what David says in Tehillim. He says, my soul is thirsty for the living God. Okay? That is how the Rambam starts off, how he introduces the mitzvah of Avas Hashem. Okay? Next we'll go to Perek Dalet in Yesod HaTorah. So the Rambam, the next few prak in the Rambam goes to Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava, because he says, insofar as the way to love God is through studying his creations, so he's going to give you like an introduction to Aristotelian physics and metaphysics, which is the science of his time, in order to give you an opening, because of Pesach, for a person to pursue this path to loving God. So you have to be able to study science and study Ma'aseh Bereishis and Merkava and metaphysics. So he gives you the Rashi Prakim, he gives you the heading, so that you have an inroad, an ability, without having to go read it through Aristotle. Okay, good. Now in Perek Dod Halacha Yud Beis. Yeah, go ahead. Well, isn't that what the derech, as opposed to what would be the mean to say? What would you want to say? Hechi Avas Hashem.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Yeah, okay, good. That's a legitimate question. Okay, we'll see. He's going to formulate a little bit differently later. Okay, good. So, okay, now halacha yud beis, perek halacha yud beis. This is after the Rambam goes through Ma'aseh Bereishis and Ma'aseh Merkava. Okay, this is the end of these three prak, four prakim. He's like this. Bizman sh'adam is boning b'dvar me'elu. When a person contemplates these things, science, God's works, his actions, u'makir kol abruim mimalach, and he recognizes all the creations from the forces, v'galgal, astronomical bodies, v'adam, humanity, v'chiyotzebo, right, look at modern translations, v'yir chachmasa she'kash baruch hu b'chol yitzurim b'chol abruim, and he sees the wisdom of God in all the forms and the creations, Mosif ava l'makom v'titzma nafsha v'yichme b'saro l'ava makom baruch. So he's Mosif, he has additional love for God, and his soul is thirsty, it's like quoting David now, and his flesh is, I think v'yichme means like, it's like, I don't know, I think it's like something like goosebumps kind of idea, like it's, I don't know, I have no idea, truthfully, I should have looked it up. To love God, he's filled with the love of God, okay? I want to point out one thing. These are the two Rambams in Yesod HaTorah which really discuss it. is both of these is Bishah Shiyas Bonein Adam is Perek Aleph, in the moment when he's contemplating. And over here he says Bizman Shadam is Bonein Dvarim Eilu. Right? So these Rama is describing an emotional experience that a person has, and there's no doubt this is an emotional experience when he's saying he's Ahov and Mispire and Misavat Haiva Gedola, right? And his Tzama Nafsho. So he's all these different Lashonos Rama is trying to explain that they're filled with a passionate desire to know God. So it's a certain emotional experience he has when he contemplates through his mind the works of God. But it's Bizman Shadam Izbonim B'Dvarim Eilu. It's when he's involved in thinking about these things. Right? In both of them, he starts off Bishah Shadam Izbonim Adam and Bizman Shadam Izbonim. Right? So it's in when he's involved in these activities, he's filled with this great love. Okay? And this desire to know him. Thirsty soul. Okay. Now let's get to the end of Sefer Mada, Perek Yud Hilchos Tshuva. Okay? We'll do halacha, start with halacha base. Okay, yud halacha base. So then halacha, in yud alf, Ram says the way not to serve God, right? Because of some sort of reward, okay, or for whatever. So halacha, perk, yud halacha base. So yes, ha'oved me'ava, osik b'toru mitzvos, v'holech b'nesivos ha'chachma, lo mibnei davar ba'olam. So somebody who serves God, out of love, he is involved in Torah and mitzvos, and he goes in the path of wisdom, not because of any other thing in the world. Lo mimnei yiras hara, not because he's afraid of bad, v'lo kidei liras hatova, not in order to inherit the good, ela osa emes mneshu emes, v'sofa tova, lovo bechlal. He does that which is true and that which is real because it's the only way, that's what's real. And the ultimate, and ultimately the good comes to him just as a result, the bechlal, it's included in the in he's doing the good, he's doing that which is real, and the good comes along with it. It's almost like a secondary benefit. Umaila zu hi maila gedolad mod, it's a very high level. The enko chacham zochala, not every wise man is merits to reach this level. The hi mailas avram avinu shekaro kadosh baruch hu ovi. So Avraham Avinu is the paradigm of this kind of personality, this person on this level, and who Akash Baruch Hu called him Ovi, my loved one. And this is the level which is actually the mitzvah, okay, that God commanded us through Moshe Rabbeinu. Shinemar v'ahavta yiseh shamokecha b'chol vavcha b'chol nashecha b'chol miyadecha. It is the mitzvah that Rambam seemingly brought down in the beginning of Yisodia Torah, right? This is the level, even though it's not everybody reaches it, but that is the, this is the level the mitzvah commands you to reach. Vizman shiyova es Hashem ava ru'uya miyad yasakol mitzvos me'ava. And when you love God with the proper love, immediately you will do all the mitzvos out of love. Okay, so right here the Rambam, we can go into Halacha Gimel next in a second, but already he's bringing in something about with what this love does. When you have this love, you now you do mitzvos, you osik in mitzvos. Right? Before, we didn't see anything about a follow-through on the love. He's just filled with his love. He wants to know God. Now the Rambam is saying, this love in Hilchos Teshuva causes a person to be engaged in worshiping God and doing the mitzvos out of love.
And doing mitzvos out of love means doing them because they're real?
Because that's the right. This is, it becomes the reality. There's only one reality. When you're in love with God in this manner, the proper way, so then you do the mitzvahs because that's the only way you can see. There's nothing else to be. There's nothing else to do. This is what life is. But that's Avraham Avinu. Okay. Now Halacha Gimel is going to describe it. The Ketzad Hi Ha'ava Haruya. Okay. So he's asking a different question from Heichi Derech La'Avasa that he asked in Yisodei Torah. He's asking a different question. Ketzad hi'ava ru'uya. Ketzad. How is the appropriate love? Right? It's a little bit of a different question. Right? Not the derech, but you can describe the entity itself. Okay, as opposed to a path. Hu shi'ahov es Hashem ava gedola yaseira. So he loves God, a great love, yaseira, excessive love, rabba, big, aza, powerful. Okay? L'chor, four synonyms. Right? So those are the ways he describes it. Tremendous, big, excessive, powerful, ad ma'od, more than that. Ad shetehei nafsho kshura ba'avas Hashem ve'nimtza shogeh bo tamid. Okay, until his soul is bound up with the love of God and he comes out, he's constantly shogeh bo. What does shogeh bo mean?
Intoxicated?
What?
Intoxicated?
Intoxicated. Oh, like from like wine? Like,
yeah.
Oh, nobody really, I don't know if it's clear what it means. The Ravid doesn't know what it means. He has his own shot to him. Shogeh bo, so I think the best way to do it is not really to translate it, intoxicated. I was going to translate it as enthralled. Okay, but it's just similar. You could say intoxicated with it. I don't think it means intoxicated, though. What?
Doesn't mean like mistaken.
No, it's gaga. I don't think that's...
I think...
Shogeg was a good
one. Yeah,
correct. I'm sure the word doesn't...
Yeah, like in Hebrew, like you say...
Attached. You say attached.
Attached. Well, I'll tell you, the Rambam is going to explain to you. He's going to give you a case for it. Okay, so we'll just go with the Rambam's description and you put in your own word. I'm going to translate it as like enthralled. But... But it doesn't have to be, you see, by the alcohol, it doesn't have to be he's intoxicated. It could be he's like enthralled. He's like addicted to it.
Addicted.
Okay, addicted. We'll use addicted. It could be addicted, like enthralled with something, obsessed with it. I don't know. It's just, I don't know if there's a great word for it. Shogeh. Okay, shogeh. Okay, shogeh, shogeh.
Would that word just use by alcohol in reference to your relationship to the alcohol or an effect of the
steeped
alcohol?
In it.
I don't know.
A person who's like steeped in wine, like alcohol. Basically, an alcoholic. Somebody really is constantly, I think it means alcohol. Somebody who's like in love with wine. He's in love with wine. You'll see. You'll see what it means in a second. Okay, so then lo yechkam. That person is not going to become wise. But wine, shirin beer next time. Okay. Okay, fine. Okay, good. So now look, one of the key things here is the Rambam over here, everything is shogeh bo tamid. It's not ideas, it's a constant love. It's a major difference between these Rambams and the earlier Rambams. Okay, so they're always really good. Nimtza shogeh bo tamid, ke'elu choli ahava, she'ein daitim pnuya me'avas oso isha, shehu shogeh bo tamid. So he's comparing it to those people who are lovesick, where their mind is not free from the love of a particular woman, where he's shogeh bo tamid. He's constantly enthralled with her, addicted, okay, obsessed, thinking about it, contemplate. Bein b'shifto, he's sitting down, bein b'kumasa, bein b'shashu, ochel shos, he's eating, drinking, standing, walking, sleeping, constantly thinking about her. It's on his mind, shogeh bo tamid, whatever that word means. Okay, so you can, whenever have you ever been obsessively in love with somebody, so that's shogeh bo tamid. Take that, boom, that's what it means. Yeser is etiyah avas Hashem b'leiv olavav. Even more than this, okay, more than, right? Yes, you see, Rabbi, I was a gadol adam od. Yeah, more than that. Okay, fine. More than this is the love of God for the in the minds of those, in the hearts of those who love God. Shogin batamid. Okay, he really wants to emphasize this point. Shogin batamid. Kemosh tzivanu b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol meldecha. Is repeating it. That is what the mitzvah. The mitzvah is saying b'chol avavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol meldecha. That's what he's saying. That's what it means. It's shogin batamid. It's the constant involvement. The constant enthrallment with the love of God. V'hu sheShlomo amar derech mashal ki cholas avani. And this is what Shlomo says in Shir Shirim, that I am lovesick. Okay, referring to the love of God. V'chol Shir Shirim mashal hu l'inyan zeh. And the entire Shir Shirim is a parable for this inyan. Okay. So we'll come back to this in a second. What he means, chol Shir Shirim mashal hu l'inyan zeh. I don't think he really means a mashal for this particular point only. Okay, I think he means it's a mashal that the idea of comparing the love of God with the love of a woman, right, man and a woman between from the love of a human being and God. So I think he's saying like that mashal, the whole Shir Shirim is built upon this comparison, right? So it's Shir Shirim has more than just this particular halacha, this particular point, but it's just saying that the idea of the mitzvah, v'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha b'chol levavcha b'chol nafshecha b'chol me'odecha, so it's speaking about a certain kind of a love, and yeah.
Is he describing the mitzvah here, or is he describing what kind of, like an ideal, like the ava of the Obey the ava? Or is that the same thing?
Well, he's saying Kamosha Tzivanu. He says before, Kamosha Tzivanu Kash Bachay De Moshe Beinu, and he quotes that pasuk. And then he says over here again, in Halacha Gimel, he says, Shogim Batamid Kamosha Tzivanu B'chol Vav Hel Chol Nash Chol Modecha. So it would seem that that is the mitzvah. I mean, obviously, the fact that Rambam says not every schacham zocha to it must mean that it's not an all or nothing mitzvah, mm-hmm. that it's susceptible to levels, mm-hmm. right? The ultimate level is Avram Avinu, of somebody shogim batamid, like the highest level. But presumably, this mitzvah is going to be subject to degrees, and we can be mekayim it on the lower level. Mm-hmm. But it would seem that that's part of the very mitzvah itself, is this idea of tamid, shogim batamid. Okay, and it's very different from the way the Rambam describes the mitzvah earlier in Yesod HaTorah, when he seemed to be describing when you are involved in contemplating the works of God, so then you're overcome with this. He even used a different lashon, mispar, mishabeach, mizayva, taiva, gedola. His soul is thirsty. You don't really see that lashon over here, the Rambam. He's trying to describe to you, yes, he is using lashon that it's like great, it's excessive, it's big, it's strong, it's something very significant about it. This is no small thing. But he's not using the same lashon of like desire and passion and your soul is thirsty and your flesh is crawling for God. He's not using that same kind of those same words. And he's switching from Yesod HaTorah. It's a temporary kind of, when you're involved in activity, you have the Avos Hashem. And when over here, it's like Shogim Batam, it seems to be the big emphasis of something is a constant love. Okay, so it's something different. Okay, go ahead.
So you're saying that the only way to show good batam is if only if you have these three things?
Which three things? Well, he's saying that that's the idea that Torah's trying to get to with those three phrases, which Chazal go through with it, you know, is that is this idea of shogun batamid. If it just said Vafi Hashem Lekecha, I wouldn't necessarily know shogun batamid, the constant love. But that's now that it says those three things, that's what teaches you this idea. Okay, that's why I think there's a certain little bit of a clue is that the Rambam in Yesod HaTorah, he just brings down the first part of the pasuk, Va'afti Yisrael Hashem Elokecha. But over here, he's focusing on the last part of the pasuk, B'chol Avav, B'chol Menashe, B'chol Me'odecha. Okay, but it doesn't really help that much. You still have to try to understand the other, what exactly the Rambam is getting at. Okay, I wanted to read the last Rambam, Perek Vav, and then we'll try to open up through the idea of Shir Shirim a little bit, how to approach this. So Rambam Halacha Vav kind of ties the two things together a little bit. So he said like this, Davar Yaduo Barar, so it's something that's known and it's clear, to the Rambam at least, She'ein Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niksheres Belibo Shel Adam, so the love of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, does not become bound up with in the heart of a person, Ad She'yishke Batamid Karoi. Okay, it's important to read this properly. It's not Ad She'yishke Batamid Karoi, because that's just tautological. Of course, when you're Shogeg Batamid, then it's bound in your heart. You have to read this as one phrase. She'ein Avas HaKadosh Baruch Hu Niksheres Belibo Shel Adam Ad She'yishke Batamid Karoi V'yazav Kol Shev Olam Chutz Mimenu K'mo She'tzivanu V'amar B'chol Vav V'chol Mashecha. Right, that it's davar, it's clear and known that the love of God does not become bound up in a person's heart till he's constantly enthralled with it, addicted to it, as it supposed should be, karoi, and he leaves everything else in the world except for the love of God, like the mitzvah is b'chol vav v'chol mashecha, ella b'deya sheyedeihu. Okay, the only way that you get to this level is through the knowledge that you know God. Okay, so now he's bringing in the intellectual again. Like he in Yesod HaTorah, he was talking about knowledge. So now all of a sudden, at the very end of Cheshuvah, he's saying, of course, don't think that there's any other way besides through knowledge. So there's a proportionality here, there's an equation. It's that if you have more knowledge and you can have more love, of this love of the Chol Avav HaChol Na'ashecha, Shogim Batamid, more knowledge you can have more of this love, and less knowledge is going to be less of this love. Lefikach, Tzarech Adam Le'yachid Atzmo. So a person has to devote himself towards understanding, intellectualizing the wisdoms, the sciences, and the wisdoms of the Torah, of the, right, of the chachma, of the sciences. Hamodian lo es kono kifi koach sheyesh ba'adam lahavin ulahasig. Right, so the chachmas, it could be specifically referring to physics and metaphysics, it could be, because that's the Rambam. Sefer mitzvahs he brings in Torah. I don't know why he leaves it out in the Mishnah Torah. We're not going to get into that problem. But the Chachmos, certainly, at least the very least, Maisa Bereishis that the Rambam discusses, that cause a person to know his creator, according to a person's ability to understand, like the Rambam spoke about in Parak Beis. Okay, so he's saying don't forget about Hilchos Yesodei Torah. This like is premised on that, right? Hilchos Tshuva Parak Yud is premised on Hilchos Yesodei Torah. So he kind of ties them at the end. The main question is what's the difference between the love of Hilchos Tshuva that Rambam's talking about, right at the very end of Sefer Amada, and basically the love that the Rambam introduces at the very beginning of Sefer Amada, Perek Beis, and Hilchos Yesodei Torah. What is the difference between these two types, two very different descriptions of Avos Hashem? Okay. So, okay, before we get to, so the path I'm going to take to try to answer up these Rambams is to really analyze a distinction, the nature of love, standard love between between a man and a woman. Okay, and that I think is the clue the Rambam gives you, because that's really the mashal. That's really the mashal that the Rambam sets out when he wants to explain to you this kind of a love. And he says Kol Shir Shirim is a mashal for this inyan. And I think if you look at Shir Shirim, it's a really tremendous chiddush what Shir Shirim did. Is it took the idea of Avas Hashem, and like there's different types of loves, you know, in the world. You can have a love for a parent, love for a child, a love for a friend. There's a lot of different types of loves. You can have a love for just a regular inanimate object. A person loves his house, loves his car. You have different types of loves, you know. So when the Torah says, Va'afdeis Hashem lekecha, so, you know, you don't really know. Maybe it's a totally different type of love, you know. And who says there is necessarily a specific kind of love to compare it to? And even if there is, you know, maybe you need some sort of comparison, some sort of paradigm to understand it in. It's a chiddush, I think, that Shir Shirim showed us that it's really the proper way to understand the love of God is by really understanding the love between a man and a woman. And that is really the paradigm of understanding Avas Hashem, is the romantic love between a man and a woman. Okay? And I'd say further is you'll see is that it's the same kind of I think psychological process that goes on in that specific form of love between a man and a woman, is that kind of psychological process that is necessary to have Avas Hashem, such that a person who has like problems and is not able to really like inhibitions and problems in developing in a love relationship between for a woman, I think will also very often will end up inhibiting a person also in the sphere of Avas Hashem, because there's a lot of similarities between the two, and it's the paradigm Shir Shirim is built upon that model. Okay, fine. So basically I want to make a distinction basically between the phenomenon of falling in love and being in love. Okay, I was going to bring in a mashal from physics, which I thought made the thing clearer, but like, yeah, I made this mistake before. It's like, for me, it's like, okay, it's, you know, give it a little bit less abstract, you know, and then go to psychology. But I realize oftentimes I confuse people on the physics. So maybe at the end we'll explain the physics through the, okay? Maybe. I don't think so. Okay? It's a good call not to do that, right? It's not simpler, okay?
Physics could be a kima and avas Hashem.
Yeah, okay. It was going to be beautiful. It was going to be beautiful, okay? But I decided against it. I felt like I'm going to lose people. Even though it's not, whatever. Okay. Okay, we'll leave physics out of it for now. So yes, I think it's a phenomenon of people like there's of in the beginning of a relationship, okay, when two people mate, man and woman, and they fall in love. So there's like it's a very different experience in terms of a person's emotions, in terms of the intensity of the experience. It's a much more passionate, intense experience than what happens after a person's been married for. You'll see it happens. It lasts for basically also the first year of marriage or so. Michelle will basically, you know, have arrived for that. But basically, the period of engagement, the first year of marriage, when the couple's falling in love, right, and they're in that beginning part of the relationship, it's very different experience than the phenomenon of being married for a prolonged period of time. Okay, and I think is that the way to look at it is not that, you know, that there's love in the beginning and then at the end there's no love anymore, okay? It's because it's not the same. You don't have the same experience. Where did the romance go? Where did the flame go? All that whole spark that used to be there during the engagement, the beginning of the marriage, It's not there anymore. So I don't think the way to look at it is that love is gone, but I think you have to look at it. There's two forms. There's two forms of love. Okay, and the first is really, it's a process. Okay, the first is a process of falling in love. So when two people meet, they're strangers, and they start to form a relationship, there's a process where they draw closer to each other. And in that process of forming a relationship, a person is undergoing a psychological change where he's orienting himself towards the other person. And his mind is, his mind and her mind, they're changing. And there's the what you're doing is you're forming a certain kind of, you're building a relationship, okay? And you're undergoing a certain process of change. But after a certain amount of time, we'll just say for right now, after about the first year of marriage, okay, that relationship is built. And it's fully formed and it's constructed. And the mental structures that a person has been in the process of building up and undergoing, and the man and the woman, so they're basically completed to a large degree, more or less. And now you no longer have too much change in that relationship. Basically, the people get as close together. I mean, they could get a little bit closer, but generally, the major movement towards going from strangers to becoming very close to people, a couple who's very bound together closely, occurs through the period of engagement and the first year of marriage. Now, once that process is over, what you have is the love becomes, it's no longer a process of falling in love, of changing your mental structures, your mental relationship, but it becomes built already. And now it becomes structured. The love becomes, it's no longer a process of falling in love, it becomes structured. You're in love. And it's just it's that your mind is different now, because the woman becomes kind of like how you view your love object, how you view the person who you're in love with, and it becomes structured. The love becomes structured as opposed to a process. You have a question? Go ahead.
I just want
to
keep just mention what are the different, you said you orient yourself towards the other person, right? You become oriented.
Right.
Like, what are some of these things that are, there's a change that's happening.
Let's say this, example. Okay, fine. So before you met her, if you were to see her, right, on the street, okay, whatever it is, she's a stranger, right? But now she comes in, and all of a sudden, you recognize her, there's a certain sense of comfort when she's around, right? And when she's not around, so then there's a certain sense of loneliness, something's missing. When she's not there, there's a familiarity with her. She becomes part of her actions and the nuances of how she speaks, and that becomes familiar to a person. And if you were to take a look at the person right now, in a snapshot moment, he's his whole attitude, his whole orientation towards her is totally different than it was 2 years ago before he met her. She's a part of his life. She becomes a central focus what it means for him to be home, to be right, to be have a family relationship, and to have the whole process of forming a relationship with a person. That person now has a certain meaning towards you when they're around, and you have a certain sense of comfort.
Can we say what parts of him are changing, or each part are changing?
It's the process is almost all consuming. A tremendous amount of the person in his life really becomes involved in the relationship. You know, it's you'll see it when you you'll see it when you get there. You undergo the process. But I mean, I'm not. It's hard to really go more into the exactly the particulars about. I mean, there's a certain amount of care you have for the person, a respect that you have for the person. You get to know them better. All these things are no longer. It's no longer a process, but it becomes kind of like part of your psyche.
But you're making this differentiation. You're saying, because falling in love is actually this process of, I'm not just admiring the person. It's actually of kind
process.
Of
process. It's like building. Yeah, it's like building. I give you a muscle. I would say it's very important. It's very important. I think just to give a deeper idea of psychology is to look at. To distinguish between changes and a mental structure. You have to understand there's such a thing as mental structures. Okay, just like for example, the physical world. Okay, you could there's an idea of building a building. You have a construction crew, right? You put together, lay a foundation. You build You know, you put down a frame, you put on walls, and you have to furnish it. So then there's like this whole process of building the building. Okay, that's the process. But in the end of the day, there's a structure that's present. Okay, that structure doesn't change, but it's a structure. The same thing, a person changes himself. When you do tshuva, when a person undergoes tshuva and he's going through this whole process of harata and remorse, and he's going through Kabbalah Asid, and he's thinking about it, so he goes through a process of changing himself. But it's a process of change. Okay, as opposed to, you have to look at what he was before and what he is after. Right? The person is a different person. Like the Rambam says, you change your name when you do tshuva. Because you're like a different person. So there's an idea to like what a person is if you take a snapshot of who he is right now. There's like who his values, his meaning, his relationships to people. All those things are part of your mental structures. They're constants in your of who you are, and they persist, over a course of years in person, unless obviously they undergo change. But then there's also a process where a person undergoes very intense, rapid change. Tshuva is one process, but falling in love is another process. Where you were an individual, lone person. All of a sudden now, your identity becomes bound up with another person. There's a certain merging of your self-identity, of your egos form a certain unity. It's a whole complex process, what falling in love really does, but ultimately results in a very revamped psychological image a person has of himself in many regards. Okay? But the feeling of falling in love, it's a feeling of a process. They feel different. That's like one of the key points here. Is like certain emotions are that you get feelings from a change. Like the process of falling in love and those intense emotions, Nisava, Taiva Gedola, the Ram says, and he's Alov and Meshabech and Mefor and Taiva Gedola and Sama Nafsha, those feelings, those are okay, I'm going into Avos HaShem. But those feelings of like those romantic love and the very intense feelings of the engagement and beginning of marriage, those are feelings because you're undergoing a process. And that process of coming closer to a person and where you really found somebody and you could find a companionship and there's a certain unity between the people's identities, you feel that transformation. It's not going on in your mind and you don't have any emotional effect. There's an effect on you. And that feeling is the feeling of falling in love. Okay, that's that experience. It's an experience, it's a feeling. But that process doesn't last forever because the transformation finishes at a certain point. Okay, the reality is for 50 years of marriage, you're not constantly undergoing this unbelievable merger of identities. That process basically ends for a regular finite human being with another finite human being. It ends after about a year or so, more or less, for different people depending upon how long they were engaged for. If you're engaged for 10 years beforehand, it might be over before you even get married. Maybe not. Maybe it can't be over before you get married. But it's and some people can go a little bit longer, a little bit shorter. But basically, the process doesn't go on ad infinitum. And those feelings are part of the experience of the process itself. And once that process is over, so now the love is no longer a process of building the relationship, but now it's there. Now you love this person. They love you, and you have this relationship. But the love becomes very different, a totally different form of it. Okay, it's the love becomes, instead of being a process of change, it becomes a permanent structure in your mind of you love this person. That's what the change accomplished. Before you didn't love this person, now you do love this person. And that process is called falling in love. But the actual structure itself is of being in love, right? Like the muscle of the building. The ruckus and the excitement of the building of the construction crews and with the hammers and laying the foundation, that's all in building the building, and that's where all the excitement comes from and all the noise and all the right, and that's where you see everybody milling around and it's very busy, and that's where like the very intense things come from, that process. But once the building is up there, it kind of runs smoothly, right? It's a very different phenomenon. Now, one, it's true they're both related. One is building the building and the other is the building existing. There's a relationship between those two things. But like they're very different ideas, and they're very different experiences going through the process of building the relationship and then being in a relationship. It's very two different emotional experiences.
Would you say?
What about Zimmer?
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
In so far as the mashalama concern, would it be possible, would it make sense to say, like this orientation process, halacha aside, like maybe could exist between relationship between two men?
You're asking like a friendship, I hope?
No, maybe, you know, like...
You're saying like homosexuals?
Yeah, like a relationship like that, people...
Yeah, there's no real difference. There's no difference. I don't think there's any real difference in the psychological phenomenon. Definitely.
Right.
There's no difference. But, for obvious reasons, I don't think Shlomo HaMelech took that as the paradigm. But I don't think that that there's any real difference in terms of this. And I'll tell you something else. It's not just between two people, you know, and certainly, like, you can have this between two men, two women. There's going to be the same kind of psychological process. I don't think there's any real difference, you know, in terms of these generalities. But, like, you'll find it also for like a person when he buys a new house, okay? Or when you buy a house, you undergo also the same kind of process, where you become you become attached to your house. There's this process. There's a very excitement in the beginning. It lasts about a year or so. So you get comfortable with it. It becomes your house, and it has all the same kind of psychological thing. And then it becomes your attitude towards your house and person's attachment to it. It kind of becomes fixed, and then it kind of goes on. The same thing with the person.
Because like the orientation process seems like it could be like super similar in that, like, you know, they're like, I mean, like, people could have a lot of things in common, similar pursuit of science or Torah, you know, stuff like that.
Right. But I'm more describing the particular process of where a person falls in love with something. It's just the paradigm of falling in love is really between a man and a woman. Of like, and that's why Shlomo HaMelech uses it. That's like the paradigm model of the Torah, of the highest form of this kind of love. But ultimately, these kinds of descriptions would apply to like a lot of other cases. You know, this idea of there's a process a person goes where he becomes attached to something, and then he forms a certain mental structure, which becomes the permanent form of that love. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to ask, so I want to know, was that like the case of the building? I don't know if that was analogous. Because I was wondering, let's say in the case of the excitement of the building,
right,
like when it's being built, is that just an anticipation? And if so, is that what, let's say...
No, it's not anticipation. I'm saying it's like a noisy process, so to speak. I don't necessarily mean noisy in a degrading way. I'm saying it's a much louder process. Like the process of falling in love, it's a much more intense. It's a much more intense experience. The feeling of falling in love, it's a very powerful, intense thing which draws on a person's emotions in a very different, louder way. Okay, not that it's stronger. I don't want to say it's stronger. Okay, but it's louder, as opposed to when a person's in love and it becomes structured. It can be very powerful, a person can be very powerfully in love with somebody, but it's a much more subtle feeling and experience. Like a person, Avraham Avinu, right? He was Shogi, he's a classic case of Ohavi, right? So I don't think Avraham Avinu was under, you know, for 175 years, whatever, 130 years, he was constantly in a state of total ecstasy, like the Rambam describes the person Hilchos Yesodia Torah. Okay, but it means that this kind of structured love, it could be a very powerful thing. For example, a person will give up his life, right? This is actually, you derive the mitzvah of giving up your life for Kiddush Hashem from B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nashecha, Mi'odecha, from the second kind of a love. Okay, a person gives up his life for his family, right? Even though for the whole 50 years a person is married, he's not under the same types of intense emotional experience that he is for that first year when he's falling in love. But it doesn't mean that the love is any less powerful. It's just a very different form. Okay, it becomes structured. The change is a person feels change in his psyche differently than he feels the actual structure of his psyche itself. It doesn't have the same type of emotional impact that the changing, when you change your psyche, it does. Okay, I'll give you an example. Like a lot of times it happens, a very comparable thing is avelos, okay, mourning. Okay, when you love somebody, you're married 50 years, right, and now the person dies. So then all of a sudden you feel like a tremendous loss, because now that's love that was there, that was part of the structure, now all of a sudden that person is distancing. It's almost like the opposite phenomenon of falling in love is a process of mourning. Also, in theory, hopefully it should be a temporary process, but it's a process of changing where you would kind of withdraw your your energy from the person, they're no longer alive, you kind of withdraw it from that person. So that those feelings of withdrawal, when you withdraw your love from a person, is like the feeling of mourning. Okay, but those feelings are also, they're very intense. It's a feeling of a withdrawal. Just like when you attach your love to somebody, it's the feeling of falling in love, it's very pleasant, very powerful, strong, positive emotions. When you withdraw your love from somebody because, let's say, they die or you get into a fight with them, right, and you break up, okay, that those feelings are very powerful feelings of when there's a change in the love, when it, either it's going towards being attracted to a person and clinging, that's the positive, and when it's being withdrawn from a person, when you withdraw your love from the other person, so that's a very negative experience for a person. But the changing is what really is those intense emotions. Okay, but the changing presumes that there was a structure there. Either you're forming a structure, in a sense, you know, or you're with the structure is being broken down. Like they say that you don't realize how much you love somebody until you miss them, you know, because when you love the person, so they're there, and it's part of your psyche. It's structured in, and it's constantly there, and you almost like don't notice it to the same degree. It's powerful. You give up your life for them just to show how powerful it is, but like you don't feel it in the same way. Then all of a sudden they're gone and you feel it, and because there's a change that goes on, so you notice the change. Okay, change is much more noticeable to a person's emotional experiences than that which is constant. But that doesn't mean that there's no such thing as like a permanent structured love. You had a question, or you go for it?
Wait, did John get it for
me? No.
So I just want to know. Since it's the same thing I was asking before. I just want to know. So. That's the feeling of love, right? During this formative, during this process of changing.
Right.
So is that feeling like an anticipation of something, or like kind of like a fantasy of like, I see that like a person senses that they're changing, and now they have like a fantasy is what they're going
to
become?
No, you see, you're like trying to intellectualize it a little bit too much.
Okay.
It's just that your psyche undergoes changes, right? Before this person, you didn't know them, they're a stranger. Right? In a year from now, you're going to be married to them, right? You're going to be in love with them, right? So there's a change.
Right.
That all of a sudden that you start, your love becomes attached to them. Your mind becomes, so that change feels like something. What does that change feel like?
Right, that's what I'm trying to get.
So what that change feels like is that falling in love. That's what it feels like. That experience is it's the emotional correlate for this phenomenon of the change a person's undergoing has a feeling to it.
Correlate, it's an internal. The only thing we've kind of established here is that it's that. I mean, maybe that's as far as we can go. I don't know. But
you're just trying to say, like, well, why do you feel that way? It's like, why when you cut your hand, does it hurt? Do you know? Why does it hurt? Well, that's what it feels like. You know what I'm saying? So there's an internal feeling. When your mind undergoes changes, you have certain feelings. That's what produces the feeling is the change itself. You have an internal, it's like an internal sense, perception of a certain process.
I think what he's asking is that, and correct me if I'm wrong, the you're saying anytime a psyche is changing, then there's going to be an intense, there's going to be intensity.
A certain feeling associated with it, correct.
So it's intensity of what? So here it's intensity of some kind of positive feeling. So what makes this, what gives it the positive,
why is it positive?
Yeah, and you know, like and, you know, you can see like with a Velus, then it's also intense, and you can see why it would be negative. You know, but is there something specific that gives it the positive intensity, or what kind of positive intensity is it?
Yeah,
why when you cut your hand does it hurt? Why is it pain? Why is that a bad feeling? Why isn't it just a different feeling? The reason is that. Is that natural selection, okay, is that biologically it's very productive, it's good for people to want to be close to each other, okay? That produces babies, okay? More human beings who have the same kind of emotion. People who used to be very happy, had a positive emotion from being separate, they didn't have so many kids. So their gene pool, that gene pool that produces negative hormones when you break up with a person, when you fall in love with it, when you come closer to a person, if that produces a negative feeling in a person. And there are people who have a psychological deficiency that intimacy gives them a certain anxiety, right? A certain negative kind of feelings come from a lot of reasons. And if you have a certain anxiety from intimacy and you're unable to get married, so then you're not going to be able to get married, right? But if that were the standard process that biology produced in a person, so you're not going to have a lot of reproductive success. So same thing for the pain. If people like pain, it could be cutting off their fingers, you know, cutting off their hands, and they wouldn't do very well in the world. So certain actions that are beneficial to the survival of the species, those produce positive effects. So falling in love and the creation of a couple and the unity of a marriage, so that's a positive thing. That creates family formation. So that change of coming closer to a person, falling in love with a person, is experienced as a positive thing. It encourages a person to want to fall in love. Does that answer your question? Still not. I can tell, still not. All right, one more time. Let's go again.
Can I give an example?
Yeah.
So like the kind of answer that I think you want is, if someone asks why do you feel negatively during mourning, then you can give answers like, well, because you're lonely, or you identify with the person, and when the person, you know, when this happened, then you felt the person's pain. You could stress some, things like that. Like it's not as simple as it hurts and that's it. You can't ask any questions about it.
So why can't you say the same thing? You were lonely before, now you're not lonely. Now you have companionship, that kind of thing.
Survival, though, couldn't it work out for a species to maybe, like, if some way the creatures could satisfy both or something?
Could satisfy both what?
Urges?
I think he's saying, like, asexual reproduction would be more efficient, so why doesn't, like, that evolution?
What type of urges? What do you mean? Can you use more? Like, what do you mean? Are you asking like a biology question? I was just using that as a muscle. I don't really want to get into the biology of it. I avoided physics. I'll try to avoid biology too. The question I think you could describe it as you used to be alone. Now you feel you're no longer lonely. You have a companionship. You can describe that. I think those are a little bit more descriptive. I'm just trying to say what the underlying mechanics of the psyche is that you're feeling is when you're mourning, it's a breakdown of the love, of the structure love. You had a structure love. There was a person there who fit that, and now she's gone, and now you kind of have, there's a breakdown of it. You kind of have to, like, undo that relationship that existed because it no longer has satisfaction in reality, and you kind of have to break it down. The feeling of breaking down the structure love is like mourning. Okay, but the feeling of creating it is falling in love. So it's like the same process in opposite directions, and the feelings are radically different. But you're getting to like a little bit of a deeper, definitive understanding of the process that brings about those emotions. But then you could describe it on like a more, you know, on a more superficial, descriptive level of before you're alone, now you have companionship, and those things are true and they're applicable, you know.
Okay. Like I wonder, like if we maybe had like more like an understanding of like what exactly the process, what things are changing, what these things mean to a person, then maybe it would make more sense. That's why,
yeah, right.
The feeling is like, you know.
Exactly. I'm not really going into those particulars right now.
Yeah,
I don't know. I was thinking a little bit like this.
More understanding of the process.
I was thinking maybe it was more of, I don't know, I could be way off, but I was thinking more of it like an investment, sort of like an investment. That could be some sort of example. It's like an investment. When you invest in a certain something, you're very happy in the beginning, and you know you're very involved with the investment. But after something happens with the investment, or if you invest in time with this person, and it happens, something bad happens, and then it's like you feel like, oh my gosh, I invested so much time and so much thought and so much emotion and all this into it, that now what? Like, it's all gone. It's like you go into this mourning period, like you said. Like it's like you're upset.
Oh, you mean from the mourning point? Okay, I mean I don't really.
But also, just in general, like it's you say it's like an investment because it's like you put a lot of time, energy.
I don't think so. I don't think
it's
what
it is. What if you were to go into the ideals of understanding what God is and this, like such this and the like. And let's say something happens to you while you're doing that, and it gets you thinking about something else. Like,
right. Well, look, you know, the truth is, look, these things they're complex and they're multi-determined, and there could be a person who does have that experience that when that somebody they love died, they feel that they wasted their time. I mean, that's definitely possible. A person could have that experience of like an investment, but there's many different.
Yeah, but when someone dies, I think that's different. I'm saying when a breakup.
Okay, before we go back to the Rambam, just one mention one. It's like a point. I'm not going to read it, but it's the Chinuch, the way he explains the mitzvah. It's Tuf Kuf Pei Beis. So it's the mitzvah. A chassan is he's chayiv to stay be mesameach with his wife for 1 year. He's not allowed to go to war. He's not allowed to go away on a vacation by himself for an extended period of time. So he has to, that's the law. He has to stay home with his wife and be mesameach with her for a year. And the chinuch explains the reason for it is he says because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants the person to have a good, strong marriage, and he doesn't want the person to be like unsatisfied, the couple to be unsatisfied, because that leads to zinus, leads to affairs, right? And basically, in that first year of the marriage, he says the person, the nature of a person is he becomes accustomed to her nature, and her form and her actions enters into his mind, and it becomes his ratzon becomes attached to her, he becomes pleased, and it becomes like a certain takes up her as a person into and forms a relationship, and it's during that first year where the bond really forms. And after after the first year, it's fine. There's a certain stability there, but it's in that first year where this process is undergoing. And that's why Kesh Baruch Hu commanded you to stay home with your wife for a full year. Afterwards, you can go out, because if you have that first year of simcha, then that really solidifies the nature of the relationship. Okay, if you take a look at that, the Chinuch, he pretty much describes this process. And that's why I'm saying it basically, why it lasts for about a year, because the Torah, that was the shear, the Mount of Zman, that the Torah fixed for staying home with after you get married, no matter who it is, right, whether it's right, Amana, Basula, Beula, Grusha, all these cases for your wife, it's 1 year. Okay, so that's where I'm basically getting the shear's Mount of 1 year. I don't know what I would have said without the Torah, but insofar as the Torah says a year, it's pretty good. It's a pretty good estimate of what the time is in general. Okay, fine. Now, basically, to bring it back to the Rambam. So, I guess it's pretty clear where I'm going with this, right? So, I'm basically saying that the first Rambam's in Hilchos Yesod Torah, okay, where he's describing Bishash Odem Mizbonin, Bizman, when he's saying during the, when you're involved in the intellectual contemplation of the Maise Hashem, Maise Bracious, physics, metaphysics, science, and if, I think also the Torah, the Rambam says, does include learning Torah, and the mitzvos. So when you look at God's actions, so then the person is overcome with these desires. So he uses a certain lashon, right, of misavatai v'gadola, and your soul is thirsty, and all these things. So he's describing a process which causes the person of falling in love with God. The derech lavasa. How do you fall in love with God? How do you bring this about? What's the course you take? So the way you take it is through study of God's works, through study of God's actions. Okay, through the study of God's actions, you become filled with these strong, intense emotions. Okay, and Yiras Hashem also follows. We're not gonna really take that up. So I want to say that is the Maisa HaMitzvah. Okay, that is the Maisa HaMitzvah of Avos Hashem. Okay, is studying God's work, studying His actions, and that is the Maisa you do, which produces, which is experienced by the person in the way the Rambam describes it, where your soul is thirsty and you have this very passionate experience when a person is engaged in the study of God's works. But that's only when he's involved in that maisa, when he's involved in that action. Okay? But that action produces something. It produces a change in the person. Okay? It produces a permanent change. Okay? And that change of shogeh botamid, a different person, where the person is oriented around in with God and he's in love with God and the love becomes structured, okay, about the one, the source of the Chachma, the source of the great infinite wisdom in the universe. That's the idea of Shogun Batamit, where it's a constantly enthralled, where it's a love that's structured and constant. It's no longer tali on a particular Zman, it's no longer tali on a particular Maisa. The Kiyam HaMitzvah is Shogun Batamit, B'chol Avavcha V'chol Nashecha. Okay, that's the Kiyam HaMitzvah. The Maisa HaMitzvah is Va'aftis Hashem Lokecha. That's the mitzvah of contemplate the Maisa of contemplating God's works and His actions. But the kiyum of the mitzvah, the fulfillment of what it produces, is in the shogim batamid, when it changes the person's, permanently changes the person, so he's constantly enthralled with the love of God, to the point where he'll give up his life for God. Right? That's the Yesod HaTorah Perek Hey, the same pasuk.
It says in Yesod HaTorah Perek Beis, then is it talking about
Maisa Mitzvah.
Right, so is that completely synonymous with beginning the process, or is that a thing which could start the process, or?
Well, that's I'm saying is like the process of falling in love. That is the way to fall in love with God, and has a certain, it has those intense emotions of falling in love. Okay, when a person does that, when a person is contemplating God's works.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But the change, the kiyum of that maisa, is that maisa, that passionate love becomes converted into a structural love, a love that becomes part of the person's psyche and permanent. Mm-hmm. Okay, those emotions become converted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hilchos tshuva. When the person is changed, when he's changed, not undergoing the process of change, but when he is a different person, whose life is oriented around the love of God, right, and it becomes who he is, part of who he is. So then the Ratzaron brings in his osi the mitzvos mi'ava. So then he acts differently. Like it's a different person. So he does mitzvos differently than he would have done beforehand. So everything about him is different. All his actions are different. Everything he does is l'shem kol masecha yushim shemayim. All his actions are he just wants to serve God. He's totally in love with God. So all he wants to do is serve God. What does God want? That's what he wants to do. So all his mitzvos now take on a totally new characteristic because he's a different person. As opposed to the Avos Hashem of the Rambam's describing Yisrei Torah, it's like not talking about doing mitzvos. When you're doing mitzvos, you're not involved in the Ava of contemplating God's works. They don't go together. They're two different actions, picking up a lulav and being contemplating science. So, but over here, this structured love, which becomes permanent, a very powerful structured love, that impacts everything every mitzvah person does. And it's a constant love, and therefore it has a constant permanent impact on the person and all his activities and everything he does. Okay? The final point is that Rambam wants to, at the very end, Halacha Vav, Perek Yud Halacha Vav, and Hilchos Tshuva, is that not every... a person might be able to get the experience of the falling in love with God, assuming he has, obviously, Perek Aleph and Hilchos Torah, he knows about... He's falling in love with God, not some sort of Mavod Zara, but Achdus Hashem, you know. But you can do it through, you know, you might be able to get the experience not just through intellectual, but you can, you know, sit around in a circle and maybe sing songs or dance, or there might be other kinds of activities where a person can do which generate a very powerful emotional experience, which is the same kind of experience of falling in love. Of falling in love with God, okay? But the thing is that they're not going to produce any permanent results in the person because they're not grounded in knowledge. They're not grounded in chachmah. See, when it's grounded in chachmah and knowledge, and that's the derech that you love God, so then ultimately there's a kiyum to that love. That love doesn't just become wasted. It doesn't just become an emotional experience of drawing clothes. Like, you know, it's like you could build a building, but if you don't know what you're doing, you're going to end up with a pile of scrap heap. You know what I mean? If it's not organized properly, it's not done with intelligence, there's no kiyum to it, there's no permanent result. So when your path to loving God is through knowledge and through chachma and through studying his works, so then there's something that lasts in it. It's a lasting, it forms a lasting love. And it produces the kiyum of b'chol levavcha, b'chol nashecha of shogim batamid. But if a person, just pursues the love of God in a way which is not grounded in chachma, so you might be able to get that experience, the first emotional experience of Yisodiyah Torah, but you're not going to have the kiyum of the chol levav chol nashecha. So I mean, I don't know if you'd be, I doubt you'd be yotzei with just the maisa, not the kiyum. You know, you need to have produced, it's got to be the specific formula of love through das, because apia dea apia ava, that's the Rambam holds, is that the love that results in the permanent love, it's a conversion. Almost like the passionate experience of falling in love. And the same thing with a woman. It becomes converted into the, it should be, in a healthy, and when it's a healthy relationship, it's converted into the relationship itself. Okay, so when you love God through knowledge, and that's the way you fall in love with God, through chachma knowledge, then that becomes converted into something permanent. And that's the kiyum mitzvah, b'chol levav v'chol nashecha. But if you try to love God through a more shallow method, so maybe you'll feel, it might feel the same way initially, where a person can be a very powerful religious emotional experience. But if it's just a shallow emotional experience that has no depth of knowledge and chachma, it doesn't have any lasting results. So there's no real kima mitzvah, b'chol levav, b'chol nashecha. Okay, good.
Hello, Rav Zimmer?
No, it's a good point. Sammy's asking about the idea that the Rambam is saying, that the love becomes permanent if it's based upon knowledge. But I think the same is true for between a man and a woman when they get to know each other, and there's not just a superficial relationship between them based upon, say, physical, sexual desire, things like that, but there's actual genuine knowledge of the other person, when you care about the other person. And like, I think that's why the Torah, one of its euphemisms for sexual relations is vayeda, like vayeda adam es ishto. It's like knowledge. Because the sexual relation could be a one of the vehicles of bringing about this transition from, in a process of falling in love to being in love, and if it's accompanied not just by a physical a sexual act, but it's accompanied by a knowledge and appreciation of the other person. And that's why vayeda is really, it's really showing you that the sexual act can exist in like a different framework, where it's converting the love into this higher form of, you know, the structure above. But yeah, it's a similar thing, that if it's not based upon an appreciation, knowledge of the other person, obviously, like, you're not studying the other person's, you know, it doesn't have to be a study of the chachma of the great acts, but it's a different, not every mashal is 100% perfect, but it has to be based, there has to be this appreciation and the knowledge of intellectual, in a sense, relationship between the two people's minds. It can't just be a superficial physical thing. There is a similarity there, for sure.
In Pirat Gimel, or sorry, in Halakha Gimel, which is Kitzad Yalav.
Okay, it's a good question. You're asking is the expression of like lovesick, it sounds more like describing the person of like falling in love, mm-hmm. as opposed to a person who's actually in love. Like a person who's actually in love, would you describe them as lovesick? Like it's constant. So basically, I hear the question. It bothers me also to a certain extent. The only thing is I think that basically, there's 2 points. Let me say one other thing first, but I'll explain it. I think is that most people, their relationship doesn't really progress, and this is because we're all crazy nowadays. But there's a certain limit to how close two people, man and woman, can get to each other. Like the intimacy, most people have a very difficult time with intimacy. Okay, and therefore the amount of love that they can really develop to, it's kind of like shallow in terms of how the potential for what a human being could really accomplish. Okay, but like for a person who's really able to really really get incredibly close with a woman, there is this phenomenon, I think, even at a point where it becomes a permanent, where it is in a sense constant, where it's where his whole life revolves around her, where it is a constant idea. But I still don't think that that is this, even for that person, that the experience in the beginning of the relationship is the same as it is 20, 30 years later. And I just can't imagine. I mean, look, maybe Avraham Avinu like lived that. I just can't imagine that when he's eating and drinking and he's talking to Eliezer, he's just involved in the same ecstatic experience as when he's contemplating the Ma'aseh Hashem. That he just says, it's beyond me to, maybe I'm missing something, but I can't imagine that a person is constantly 100% of the time, Tumid, always involved, for 100 years, day, night, eating, drinking, sleep, like just constantly involved in that kind of experience. It's like there's nothing ever, like he never undergoes any emotional change, ever. Like what happens when Sarah dies, you know? So like then he's still in that experience of Taiva Gadola. I don't think so. I think that experience is Bizman, but when he's involved in contemplation. But even when Sarah dies, I still think that Avraham that fits into his framework of Avos Hashem. Part of what he's mourning is that she was the mother of the community of future of Klal Yisrael, and part of his loss of her wasn't just as an individual person, but part of his loss of her fit into his framework of Avos Hashem. His Avos Hashem is constant. Do you know that? That's why I think he's using the expression of Chola Sava.
I lost it. Why are you talking about Sarah?
No, I'm saying the Rambam uses the example of Avraham Avinu. It was the Ohavi, mm-hmm. You know? So if you're going to say that Avraham Avinu was in the highest level of here, and Cholas Ava means to describe this first experience of Yisod HaTorah, mm-hmm. So I just can't imagine that Avraham Avinu was constantly in that state 100% of the time. Mm-hmm. I can't understand how that experience can last, is constant. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying? I can understand how a person's mental structure and orientation, what it means to love somebody else constantly. I could see how when it's more subtle, now that could be a constant love. But I don't understand how those intense and most passionate thing could be constant all the time while you're eating and drinking and doing those other things. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I do the lashon of chol, of lovesick, I know. You think it means the guy who's like got the very beginning. It sounds like it, but I'm saying it doesn't.
And also,
really, doesn't
also
really
the language of Gedola, Yisera, Aza, and all those things like that. Like, I'm having a hard time picturing what that would mean for the...
Good. That I'm saying is a very different lashon. He says, Gedola, Yisera, Rabba, Azad, Ma'od. Right? But in that's in Hilchos Teshuva, but in Hilchos Yisodei Torah, he didn't use those words. He said something else. He said, right? Right? So I think it's those are very different words. In Hilchos Teshuva, he's not saying Taiva Gedola and thirsty and things like that. He's saying it's great, it's powerful, it's excessive. He's showing you that just because it doesn't have the same emotional experience that the falling in love does, doesn't mean it's not an incredibly tremendous, strong, powerful love. Like I'm saying, a person will give up their life for their wife, right? For their children, they'll for the whole family, they'll sacrifice their life for their family, even though like. Married 20 years, he doesn't have the same feelings that when he was getting engaged. That process not going on, but still, it's how powerful. How powerful is that love that he'll sacrifice everything for it. So just because it becomes a structured love, don't think it's any less powerful, any less strong, and excessive and great as the other kind of love. In fact, it's greater. It's a much greater thing. It's a much greater, stronger thing than the falling in love, falling in love that first experience. It's much greater. It just feels different. Mm-hmm. It feels very different, but it's a greater thing. It's really stronger love, I think.
You're saying stronger in terms of how it makes you like.
Yeah, like it'll affect his entire life. All his actions are different because of this love, the structured love. Everything about it is different. It becomes much more meaningful to a person in value, in terms of the value placed on it, in terms of what it means to him, what he's willing to do for it, how he acts. It changes everything. It changes his whole personality.
I mean, not like as a sensation.
No, I don't think as a sensation is the same feeling. That's the main point. That sensation comes from the process of change, not from the structure. Structure doesn't create that same kind of internal experience. Okay, good.